Caroline, say hello.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me?
Can she hear me?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes, bless you, darling. Just tell me when we go. Okay, welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So I am, and I recommend this to everybody, often using the phrase, I wonder how this is perfect. So we're starting the show 26 minutes and 56 seconds late-ish, you know, in some world, but we're on time in another. It's kind of more than, I wonder how this is perfect. Well, it's kind of more than perfect, because the show today is reporting from the underworld, and the underworld has a very dodgy connection. So the theme is underworld radio holding the poison up to the light. Yes, as Abigail Adams, I went to CPAC today, day one, the Conservative Political Action Conference, which is certainly underworldish for me. It's very Koch brothers, it's very Citizens United, it's very dedicated to the toxicity of Andrew Breitbart, and we'll describe those things. But of course, the heroic tonic antidote would be the voices from the underworld that are surfacing now. Scott Prouty did an amazing interview last night on The Ed Show on MSNBC. He is the humble, incredibly together bartender who filmed at the $50,000 plate fundraiser, Romney's fundraiser, the famous 47% tape that went spiral, I like to say. He was very together. It was not the 47% comment that really, it was the comment that Romney had made about shopping for factories in China and how, you know, 2,000 young women worked there, and it was surrounded by guard towers and barbed wire, and that was really a good thing. That's what set him off. At the same time, we have the more than ironically surreptitious recording of Bradley Manning's full hour presentation at his court, his statement, which we might play a little bit of. We're going to hold that to one side because, you know, it's a creative discombobulated time right now. But you can find the entire audio that somebody clearly recorded on their phone, you know, at theworld.org or pressfreedom.com, which is the group that, you know, has spiraled this forth. The crucial part is that hearing him lucid, together, moral, principled, has transformed Bradley Manning in the memosphere from kind of troubled mood or troubled traitor, you know, to Daniel Ellsberg's status. And we go, ah, there we go. But back to CPAC, because, in considering journeying to the underworld and going to the Conservative Political Action Conference as Abigail Adams, by my team here in D.C., the Committee for the Republic, which likes, you know, cross-border conversing, we do remember, you know, the biggest con is to be conned into polarizing hatred. We know that, you know, the number two, if you can convince people they're on one side of something, you will only get conflict, rah, 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 boring and lethal. You know, so what two wants is three, which is the unifying story. So with that in mind, but I was looking at the lineup, and I was going, oh, you know, it's in this place bereft of soul, National Harbor. It's this horrible, faraway conference place, and I don't know if I can subject myself to this toxicity. You know, do I really want to go? You know, it's, you know, the Islamist threat to America and Marco Rubio and, you know, Rand Paul. We're going to report on all this. And Andrew Breitbart, who's dead now. I stood next to him at last year's CPAC when he was having what looked to be an amphetamine alcohol psychosis breakdown, which was preceding his death by a couple of weeks. So I thought, oh, I don't know if I really want to go. But I did throw the I Ching, because we do not want to outsource our authority, but anything that guides us to our own knowing is a good thing. And the I Ching was unusually jaunty. And it said, open expression, the joyous dancer, go where you are called. You know, the luminous vapors are rising from the open waters of the river. Well, the soulless National Harbor, it is by a beautiful river. Words connect people, preside over the marketplace where people come together and news passes from mouth to mouth. Be a dancing goat and a sheep. You know, open things up, cheer people up and urge them on, talk, bargain, barter, exchange information, find a supportive group. You know, and then it goes on briefly. It says, you know, if you explain why something is difficult and oppressive, people will face even death willingly if it's good. So I thought, well, you know, that's unusually jaunty of the I Ching, but that's exactly what happened. I did go to CPAC, and I met my jolly team, and I want to put some complexity on our table. You know, there's a lot, you know, for us to play with, but here we go. So the mythological news service and weaving it to and fro with CPAC, we know that we have a new moon. We know that the sun's image right now, its degree is purge, clergy officiates anew, spiritual reformation, overcoming corrupt practices. We like that. We know that Mercury is retrograde. It's just a beautiful apparent illusion from the Earth's perspective that happens three times a year, but it is thought of as a reflective time, which is why when we have technical kerfuffles, we wonder how that's perfect and we think it's very witty, especially when attempting to transmit from the underworld. So Mercury represents our voice, our transmission, technical things, you know, Hermes. It is apparent motion backwards or retrograde until March 17th. Well, we whimsically and profoundly play with all metaphors. March 17th, this Sunday, is St. Patrick's Day. And just to remind us, one of my favorite apocryphal mythological tales about St. Patrick is that he's invited to a dinner where he's given a cup of poisoned wine. And so he takes the cup of wine and he holds it up to the light and the poison rises to the top and he blows it off. Like froth, and he quaffs the drink, and he toasts everyone, even those attempting to poison him, causing the elders to say, ah, a real initiate. We go, yes. So Mercury retrograde, the mythological guiding language, you know, which we love, says we are going back to reclaim, to gather medicine, the transformation of poison, you know, to hold the poison up to the light. It rises to the top. We blow it off. And then we toast everyone. This is certainly one of the trickster redeemer within all of us's capacity. So we're going to, you know, play with that. So I did arrive, having gotten up at the crack of dawn, which for me is at 8. You know, and so my colleague Bruce Fine, conservative, Republican, well, libertarian, we're going to make some distinctions here, because there are many distinctions to be made. Conservatives, neocons, Ayn Rand people, Rand Paul people, libertarians, you know, and all of us, they are worthy. So Bruce Fine is a notable, you know, libertarian, scholar, right-wing, I'd have to say, right-wing libertarian scholar, conservative lawyer. He loves to dress up as Madison, James Madison, and it's actually, he does a great job, and he looks cute. And so he delivered Madison's State of the Union address as though, you know, he were here 2013. So we want to understand where we can have common cause. So part of the conversation in that room is he says, well, Madison was always, and the founding fathers, and we're going to aspire to include some women in there. I mean, I was Abigail Adams, but, you know, well, there we go. The warfare state, the drones, these are impeachable matters, says Bruce Fine Madison now. And so the warfare state more dangerous than the welfare state, you know, which, okay, there we go. You know, and then he does mention, you know, a lot of people said that, you know, Obama has sugarcoated empire, and we want to honor these complex and nuanced and ferocious and wonderful conversations. There have been more espionage prosecutions under Obama. We go, we're going to get to kind of why, what happens to be excluded when they get invited to the club, important. So we go, all right. Madison Bruce Fine was talking about phony conservatives and all the Republican leadership. He says their intellectual universe is circumscribed by the next 24 hours and what is mendaciously useful to them, politics as football game. And so we all agreed, you know, let us compost, you know, sports metaphors for politics because it is, he says, neocons have no ideas. must go to the conservative libertarians. And the reason I'm saying this to our team here, all of us teammates, is there are conversations to be had with the libertarian realm. Certainly many people are magnetized by Ron Paul and his possibly savvier, Rand Paul. So everybody, all the libertarians there are going, Senator Rand Paul, much better, gotta be sustained. Then everybody's agreeing, government has monopoly on violence, good. A true leader always allays fears. From last year's CPAC, where I understood that we do want to be crossing borders, there was a really good, Founding Fathers panel, Bruce Fine was on it. And just to remind us, a woman in the audience as a self-identified, crazy Tea Party lady, and I have met sane Tea Party people, we want to encourage that conversation as well. But she said, well, but what are we going to do? Are we going to wait for, Iran to nuke, East Coast cities, because the libertarians, the educated conservatives are very much about, yes, legalizing cannabis and growing hemp and no war. That the warfare state, the bailout state, bailing out banks, is the most toxic to democracy possible. And we go, we can have this conversation, and we're going to. I have two great conservatives lined up for forthcoming weeks with whom we can have very interesting conversings, and it is time, because, change is good. So the woman was all hysterical, and Bruce Fine very calmly said, well, here's why that's not true about Iran's nuclear capacity. There we go. And even if it were, he said very calmly, the Constitution, the Founding Fathers, make it very clear that the worst threat to the Republic, and we do want to have a conversation about the Republic versus democracy, because there, even in the libertarians, there's a bias that, humans are mobs and there must be an elite. So anyway, they're okay. But he did say the worst threat to the Republic is fear-mongering at home, a greater threat than any external threat, and more. And it just calmed this woman down and just kind of metabolized all the poison right out of her. And I realized, she needed him. She needed a deeply, richly educated conservative lawyer who is up for impeaching George W. Bush and up for impeaching Obama, for drones and all of that. She needed him as the medicine man of the moment to calm her down. We go, yes, all right. So playing the warfare state betrays a toxic mindset, said the libertarians, conservatives, in conversation. And the team I got to kind of hang out with. Again, the warfare state betrays a toxic mindset. Now, it was said that, that there is a more vicious and lawless empire than ever before. That was part of Bruce Fine's point about Obama joined the lawless empire club. What Obama, what women must beware of is what happens to the excluded in subtle and vulgar ways when they're finally into the club, is they do, there's what happens. There we go. But they also said, yes, the bailout state, funds the warfare state, and there we go, like that. Okay. Also, Bruce Fine was queried and said separation of church and state is the most important thing to prevent a theocracy. Now, this is really important because in passing conversations at CPAC, running into the mega, and I'm probably going to go back, why not, the mega right-wing and neocon. Now, remember, the conservatives and the libertarians scoff at the neocons. Jeb Bush is a neocon. He signed PNAC, the for a New American Century, which is a very dubious thing. Reaching for a Libertarian Book. We will also be having Ivan Eland on radio in the future from the Independent Institute. Apparently the Cato Institute does not want to play, but the Libertarian Independent Institute, and many people, my team of, you know, liberals and whatnot and conservatives said The Empire Has No Clothes is the best book on empire so far by Libertarian Ivan Eland. Okay, so we have that over there. So, in passing, also, we go, okay, all these very influential, everybody's there, Grover Norquist is there, I'm going to go meet, or just hear at least, Paul Ryan, all these people, because we got to know. But I just want to reiterate that there are conversations to be had underneath the surface. In speaking with, again, deeply educated conservatives and the conservative libertarian realm, you know, this is this is the conversing where we want to go. We have shared concerns. We have points of profound disagreement. We want to kind of honor that and animate that in subsequent radio shows. But also the Pope, you know, we gather these intelligences. So, major person from, yes, had it here. Oh, well, we'll see. But from a Latin American right-wing conservative group, as a friend of mine there said, conservatives in Latin America mean monarchists. Conservatives in Latin America mean bring back the king. And so he said, well, so this Brazilian important person, head of this important, influential global thing, said, well, the Pope, we've got him, the new Pope, we've got him on social issues, you know, no gay marriage, no abortion, no women in the church, you know, but we're not sure about his views of capitalism. We go, all right, there's something to work with, even in the Pope. There we go. And remember, even Ratzinger, you know, had said that the abuses of capitalism were, a cruel torment upon all beings on the earth. I don't know the exact quote, but it was something like that. And we go, oh, yeah, people sort of missed that. So that's the skinny on the Pope in passing. But separation of church and state, separation of business from government, really good. Bruce Fein went on to say about the Fourth Amendment is a joke today. There's surveillance of home and finances and drones. We remember John Poindexter's, you know, kind of evil plan of the total information state program. It didn't pass, but as we know, it did happen on the installment plan, you know, and it, speaking astrology, as people do without needing to or knowing that they are, we say Jupiter, you know, gathering Gemini. Bruce Fein said, you know, every day the government gathers more and more useless information. Congress extends the Patriot Act, you know, asking for, without asking for evidence that any of this has done any good whatsoever. And we go, well, yeah, that's great. Again, crucial themes we just want to underline is, you know, if we are worried about safety, we tend to give up freedoms, you know, and again, all where we gather with sane, reverent beings, you know, to insource all that we've been outsourcing, if we are made to be distracted, deluded, and afraid, and polarized, and in oppositional conversation, we surrender our freedom of the infinite game to the finite game. We tend to surrender our freedoms because it might make us safe. So Bruce Fein is fun that way. He says, again, what we all know, the TSA has done a billion searches and caught no one. No one. Zero foiled plots, apparently, he with his gathering of intelligence, too. The FBI says zero Al-Qaeda cells in the U.S., you know, and why not just get on Amtrak where there's no TSA screening? And, of course, we kill people who are innocent all the time. Everybody agreed with that. And that, again, deeply educated conservatives, not neocons, libertarians, progressives, animists, pagans, useful conversation, Taoists, again, all of these things. Again, Bruce Fein, you know, said the goal of the Second Amendment was to have a militia in order to protect the country. And even he said, you know, guns were to defend. It is ridiculous to think that you want to have an arsenal in your home to defeat the $1 trillion Defense Department. That is really silly. It is very sensible, as almost all sane, reverent people say, to have background checks so that we do not hand out guns to unstable people. These are minimal things, like labeling GMOs is minimal. We're not even banning the GMOs, you know, yet. So just, you know, so we have sanity coming in there. And other great things. So a quote from Madison, you know, is, if men were angels, no government would be necessary. So this is a conversation, to allies, to fun conversing people, whom I would recommend. I like increasingly conversing with Joseph Baldacchino, whom we will host on the radio. National Humanities Institute runs a think tank, but a very sane, reverent guy. We know that Tom Paine wrote Common Sense. Well, I'm writing a pamphlet, you know, sane, reverent common sense. It would be the kind of Abigail Adams trickster updated version of that. And also deeply interesting conservative, completely willing to talk. He says he's the only conservative who actually knows about the Third World from living there in complex ways, and brings up complex things that we do want to talk about that are conundrums. He says he's not against protecting the environment, but in countries all run by bribes, when you have regulations, it does not do much to protect things. It's just another opportunity for bribes. I'm not saying I'm going along with this, but we do. These are worthy conversations to play with. You know, and so when John Utley, who is the publisher of The American Conservative, which is a quite smart, I'm reaching for it here, quite smart, if you want to read Other Side and then think of it as not Other Side, The American Conservative, you can find it online. There are two most recent issues, January, February, and March, April. On the cover, it's Conservative Counterculture Agenda for a Greener, Freer, Smarter Right. We go, all right, let's talk. The March, April cover is How War Kills Our Culture. So deep conservatives are very much up, and libertarian conservatives, very much up for, you know, again, yes, of course, legalizing cannabis and ending the drug war and all of that, but ending all war. And we go, and ideally, again, when we get to the libertarian realm, and this is where it's tricky, but absolutely the dissolution of empire. We go, these are conversations to be had. So John Utley will also be a future guest. Remember in the early days of Pacifica that it used to have, you know, conversations of widely disparate, but interestingly, you know, different points of view. Well, let's bring some of that back, that we no longer need to just, you know, talk in the ghetto of ourselves, the agreement ghetto, but again, to expand. So then even there we were listening to Grover Norquist. Grover Norquist, you know, his lead line was, Republicans who vote for taxes are rat heads in a Coke bottle. And I had to ask people, did he say rat heads in a Coke bottle? Yes, he did. He said, it damages the brand. It's like, oh, Grover. But then as the deeply informed conservative said, yes, Grover is toxic, but Grover is the natural predator of Lockheed Martin. Grover is the natural predator of the war machine. We go, because if you can't raise taxes, you have to do cuts, and the biggest cut, even for right-wing people over there, partly, it's a conversation, is the bloated military. Now, again, libertarians, deeply informed, educated conservatives, under the surface. See, on the surface, CPAC was just, it's why I didn't want to go. I was like, no, this poison, toxic, even though St. Patrick is with me and I'm raising the poison glass, I don't know. But if, you know, I'm just saying, if our hearts are jaunty, we can journey anywhere and find allies in the most unexpected places. And I think we really want to do that. So we like that, you know, again, everyone's got a role to play in the mystery play in some form going, and part of our job, because we love bringing, let's stir in everything we know and love, You know, in Hawaii, ho'oponopono, it means to heal the world by going within, to heal our own inner right-wing warmonger dingbat self. You know, it's a larger and profound, whimsical, deeply effective, sacred, wonderful teaching. It's one way to go. You know, and so we go, all right, and I like it, because again, see, if we're tricked, conned, bamboozled, hoodwinked into oppositional polarity, we are inadvertently serving empire regardless of what label we stick on our butt. You know, so we go, right, as we remember, our frame story is, here's empire, doom, doom, da, doom, roll, you bastards, okay, you know, dominate, kill nature, war on nature, okay, collapsing, but taking lots of life with it, here we go, it's, you know, collapsing. Underneath, here we go, you know, culture of experimental reverent ingenuity rising up, which is why I started to, you know, have interesting conversation about, even when some other people's kind of radio things, about how Occupy and the Tea Party have a conversation to be had. And the Occupy people were like, what? And the Tea Party people were like, what? And I go, anger about economic inequality, you know, there's some disagreements, you know, because the Tea Party deeply suspicious that the Occupy people want to build up government, but that these are conversations. Again, metaphysics says start with the point of the shared desirable vision, and avenues of synchronous possibility open up that weren't immediately apparent. So we go, all right, there's a point of agreement. You know, economic disparity in this country is a source of anger. Anger is Mars. It is a crude initial form, but healthy at first, to be directed into heroism in some form. And it is, you know, and there's an agreement. You know, it's like, find something that everyone's agree, or apparently polarized people are agreeing upon. Start there. There we go. So, even though I don't want, you know, our side, their side, John Utley, conservative, publisher of the conservative, the American Conservative magazine, very smart, it's a very smart magazine. So he was just saying something about our side, and I go, who is our side? Because he was talking to me and other, and a whole bunch of right-wingers, and I'm a, you know, Democratic animist, even though, again, even the progressive team said, you know, we don't like the Democratic part because democracy is a mob, and the Founding Fathers had no intention of having a democracy. They wanted a republic, meaning always an elite. And I go, that's not how nature works. I'm going for democracy, frankly. But anyway, John Utley said, you know, I said, who is our side? He goes, anyone against imperialism? We go, well, it's pretty broad. That's pretty good. John Utley said some other fun things. He said, you know, most neocons have no experience of the world. We are part of a whole global concern. We want to resolve things on global level. We want to be broadly educated. That's a crucial part of our dynamic. And he said also, everybody relax. The truth does not need equal time because it resonates so strongly. Even though there is that wonderful Jim Hightower saying, you know, lies have made it around the world twice before truth has even put its boots on. But I'm going with John Utley. The truth does not need equal time. It hums. Mm-hmm. Now, he is all way into Rand Paul. And we go, Rand Paul served an important function. The filibuster was worthy, reminding everyone of their job, which is, you know, to demand information, to demand accountability, or maybe some better word than demand, because I do think demand is still slightly second-grade, unworked-out issues with daddy, infantile tantrum word. But I used it, you know, but to insist, to call forth, to magnetize, you know, information. I'm wary of Rand Paul myself, but again, everybody's got a role in the mystery play. It is important also for our mesmerized team, that, you know, just the libertarian of Ron Paul and his son, we want nuance. Nothing is simple. We love complexity. And just to reiterate, so we go, yes, with Papa Ron Paul and his son Rand Paul, we love no war. Yes. We love legalized raw milk, and we love cannabis and hemp. Great. When we get to protection of the environment, this is where this has been not been mentioned at CPAC, the natural world, the crisis, the biggest crisis facing all of us, not mentioned, but not mentioned by Democratic conventions either, you know, or Republican conventions. We go, that is our task as sane, reverent, trickster redeemers as well. You know, so we go, all right, there's some things there. In the environment, it's, again, you know, let the market rule. Let's open up all national parks to drilling. Who cares about a bunch of bleeping squirrels in the north? Oh, there we go. So there's that. And then we want to, there are many books I'm going to be reading, you know, understanding dictatorships, and lots of research, because one thing's about conversing with the incredibly educated conservative realm is that they are incredibly educated. So I am inspired to bring things up to speed. I want to just weave in our final moments here too that, I'm reading a fantastic novel by Pete Hamill called Forever. It's so good, I don't want it to end, and I wish it went on forever. It starts in 17th century Ireland, moves to New York, fantastic entire history, but great, great storytelling, but little bits. This person who has been granted immortality because of goodness. He's been granted immortality, an Irishman granted immortality by African gods because he did important, kind things for his African friends in the 18th century in New York. But he's been granted immortality as long as he never leaves New York City. Meanwhile, he could only try to live his life. He told himself that change was everything, that it was essential to any life, long or short. One year he drew and painted with his left hand only, which took the slickness out of his drawing and even made him stand and sit in new ways. In another year, he learned to sign so that he could speak to deaf mutes and wrote an article about them for the Century. He bought a camera, too. It goes on and on and on. We love that. We go, ah. And he said, it's the sludge. We want to get rid of the sludge. This is kind of the Yornis, the trickster redeemer, the part of us that comes alive when we cross borders, when we engage in education, when we learn things, when we go to the underworld, when we do things we didn't think we wanted to do. You know, we overcome the sludge. And there we are, ending so soon. There we are, but I'm going to keep this going. In our Mythic News realm, there are many guests lined up. We want to keep this conversation happening. Thanks very much, of course, to Toby Schreiner in Washington, D.C., and to Erica Bridgman at KPFA. And there'll be more online, more reports being filed by me at CoyoteNetworkNews.com. Follow me on Twitter at StandUpCoyote. And we will reconvene with these themes and more guests next week. Thank you, team.
Sunday, March 17th, be at Laney College Theater in Oakland for the film premiere of a new talk by Bob Avakian, B.A. Speaks, Revolution, Nothing Less. Here's Cornel West.
My dear brother, Bob Avakian, he is the chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party, a legendary freedom fighter, one of the few coming out of the 60s who never sold out, he never gave up, held on to his forging of a rigorous scientific analysis driven by a revolutionary love for poor people, oppressed people. But whether you agree or disagree with our brother, one thing you cannot deny, that he is the real thing.
Sunday, March 17th, 1 to 8 p.m., Laney College Theater, Oakland, the premiere of B.A. Speaks, Revolution, Nothing Less. A benefit for Revolution Books, co-sponsored by Media Freedom Foundation to promote free speech. For tickets, call 510-848-1111.